Amen.
Good morning, seminary family. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. And David writes, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thou thoughts, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count."
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost."
John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Leviticus 23:39-43, reading from the New King James Version. "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it on the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
And Zechariah 14:16 says, "Then all who survive of the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the festival of booths."
Amen. We have celebrated joyously already this morning. And God is a lover of exuberant... It's on. Hello? Testing? 1, 2, 3. Okay. God is a lover of exuberant celebration. If you go back to the Old Testament and look at the number of festivals and times of celebrating that God set aside every year, you might be surprised with the count that you get. How many would you think? 25? That's a good number. Higher. 50? That's not enough. 91 times, 91 days every year, God sets aside for exuberant celebration. A whole 3 months. Now, of course, that counts the weekly Sabbaths, which should be exuberant celebration, and the new moon celebrations, and the annual festivals. And that does not count, however, the time it took for them to get from the northern or the southern part of the Holy Land to Jerusalem, maybe a week going and traveling back and forth every major celebration, which was 3 times a year. God is a lover of celebration. Now, today, we as Seventh-day Adventists believe that God does not mandate the annual festivals that ancient Israel celebrated, which were a part of the whole ceremonial system pointed forward to Christ. But we still need as much celebrating as ancient Israel did. I was excited to see that Ellen White concurred. Here's a statement that she made to a school whose students had not learned to celebrate. And to the church surrounded that school. Here's what she writes. Shall we not keep holy festivals unto God? Shall we not show that we have some enthusiasm in His service? With the grand ennobling theme of salvation before us, shall we be cold as stones of marble? If men can be so excited over a match of cricket or a horse race, and we could add a pennant race or a Super Bowl, or over foolish things that bring no good to anyone, shall we be unmoved when the plan of salvation is unfolded before us? And then comes a punchline. Let the school henceforth have festivals of rejoicing unto the Lord. Well, I believe in following the counsel of Ellen White. And it was back as a young pastor in Flagstaff when I first caught just a little taste of this vision. I was reading through the book Patriarchs and Prophets for my devotions, and I came to this page 541, and the line leaped out of the pages into my life, where Ellen White wrote, well would it be for the people of God at the present time to have a Feast of Tabernacles, a joyous commemoration of God's blessings to them. You've got that right on the inside of your bulletin in case you need to use it in the future. And so I took it to my board of elders there in Flagstaff. Now, Flagstaff is a mountain town, 7,000 feet elevation. We get about 200 inches of snow every year. The people that live there have to be rough and hardy, rugged and daring individuals. And so when I took it to my board, they said, well, of course, let's do it. And so we put a big sign on the church, come out to the woods. Of course, our little church in Flagstaff is already in the woods, so we just went a little further in the woods. And we spent the whole day celebrating Feast of Tabernacles. It was awesome. Well, the next year, you know how pastors get these bright ideas and then they just sort of forget about them and the church wonders what happens when the pastor goes on to the next idea? And it came the next fall and I'd forgotten all about Feast of Tabernacles. And the head elder came to me and said, we're going to have Feast of Tabernacles again, aren't we? And I said, well, of course. And so we began the second annual and the third annual and the fourth annual Feast of Tabernacles there in the woods of that little mountain town in Arizona. Well, I've been doing it ever since, inviting students over to my house and celebrating a feast. Not because I have to, but because I look forward to every opportunity to celebrate God's goodness. And so since I'm not teaching this semester, I'm on a sabbatical study leave, I got to invite all the students to my house this time to celebrate the feast. And so I'm wondering, are you willing to join me in a Feast of Tabernacles? Are you eligible?
You heard the scripture reading, native Israelites. But remember Galatians 3:29. If you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're all eligible. And I want to make this real. And so I'm going to invite you to imagine that we are not just here in Seminary Chapel in the year 2006. I want to invite you to plug into your Hebrew roots of vigor and enthusiasm in the Holy Land. Can you hop in with me in our time machine and head back to, let's see, about 30 AD, the last year of Jesus' ministry. And let's go to the Holy Land to celebrate with Jesus the Feast of Tabernacles. You ready?
Yes.
Come on, stand up. Let's go. Okay. Now, with a snap of the finger and the Lord's miracle working, here we are, groups of pilgrims that are on our way from the various parts of the Holy Land to Jerusalem. And I see these different groups. I see a group of pilgrims here that comes from the east. You've come all the way from Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
Jericho. Your brother Simeon, aren't you? I remember you last year. Good to see you again. And here's a group of people. I see this whole band of people that are coming from the north. Didn't you come all the way from Tel Dan? Sister Sarah?
Yeah.
Boy, you've traveled a long ways. It's been almost a week you've been traveling. Wow, I'm so glad you're able to come. And I see my brother up there. Brother Jethro. From the south. You've come all the way from Beersheba. Good to see you again, Jethro. And then let's see. I recognize so many of you, but here. Your brother, Andrew, is it? Andrew. And you come from the west, from Joppa. You've been traveling up through the Shephelah and up and through the high country there, heading toward Jerusalem. Boy, I'm glad to see you. We're on our way. And we're marching to Zion. Now, if we're going to head to Jerusalem, we got to sing. That's what they did. And so we're going to sing the one pilgrim song that's in the hymnal. We all know it. Marching to Zion. Just the first stanza. Here we go. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song of sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around. Come on, march! We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Beautiful. Now, according to God's providence, we've all arrived at the same time on one of the seven hills around Jerusalem. And as we look down at the marble walls of that glorious temple, do you see that little white-robed figure standing on the southwest corner of the Temple Mount? Can you see him with your mind's eye? What is that he has in his hand? Yes, it's a shofar, and he's calling us to the feast. Can you hear him? Do you need a little help? Okay. I'll pretend to be the white-robed priest if you will provide the response that the worshipers gave in Jesus' day when they heard the call. They all shouted out, Hosanna! 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 Now, where's our chaplain? Do I have your permission to have an Adventist congregation shout Hosanna? He said yes. Okay. So, this isn't Pentecostal. This is Hebrew. This is Hebrew style. Here we go. I'll give four blasts and then three gigantic hosannas can follow. Okay. awesome. All right, when we come to Jerusalem at Feast of Tabernacles time, and by the way, as you may well know, this is Feast of Tabernacles time. It started on Friday night when you saw that big full moon on Friday night, and we're right in the midst of the very actual Feast of Tabernacles. So we're celebrating it authentically as possible. Anyway, I invite you to sit down. And what you really are supposed to be doing right now is going out into the trees and pulling off branches so that we can build a sukkah and we can wave Hosanna branches. But since this campus is a arboretum, I thought maybe Dr. Woodland would not be too pleased if I broke off his branches. So I brought my own branches. I pruned my own back 14 acres. And I've got some people to help pass out branches. Now's the time. Give everyone who wants one a branch. Just pull up a pile and just pass them out. If you don't get one, I'm serious about this feast, as you can see. In the balcony, we have people to pass out branches.
Can you make sure I get an apple?
Sure. I'm going to get rid of these things. In a few minutes, I'm going to have to come down here and get this. Okay, so it looks like someone already spilled. Just watch it. Okay. Doesn't this look beautiful? Now we're supposed to build a booth that we can all fit in. Unfortunately, we all can't get in there. But I'd like us, if we just would hold each branch above our head, we could imagine that this were in our booth. Isn't that cool? I won't ask you to hold it up the whole chapel period. But just imagine that. All right. Now, while we have it up, let's use it as a celebration. Let's do a Hosanna one more time with the branches, waving the branches this time, okay? You guys have branches? Here, come on. You need another branch. Here you go. Bigger branch than that. All right. Let's do a threefold Hosanna one more time. Hosanna! 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 Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, you can put your branches down for just a couple minutes here. And as we're dwelling in our booth here together, we got to think about, what does it mean? Why are we in this booth? Why are we celebrating Feast of Tabernacles? Well, you heard in the scripture reading from Leviticus 23 and verse 40 that they were to dwell in booths to remember that God protected them for 40 years in the wilderness, and they were under their little tents, but they were under God's booth. With the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that protected them by day and by night. And so in memory of that, they were to come to Jerusalem every year, and for 7 days they were to celebrate God's goodness on their behalf. I encourage you through the rest of this week, the festival goes until Sabbath. I encourage you to have special times with your family or your friends to think about what God has done for you since the last Feast of Tabernacles, to rejoice in the blessings of the past. But the Feast of Tabernacles was also to point toward the future. Because according to Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, when the Messiah came, he was to restore the booth of David that had fallen. And so the Feast of Booths pointed it to the time when the Messiah, the booth, would come. The true booth, the true tabernacle. And so when Jesus came, John caught it and wrote, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And you know, if you calculate the date when Christ was born, you know you can do that, approximately. You just need two texts. You need Luke 1 and 1 Chronicles 24. And if you go to Luke 1, you find out that Zechariah was in the temple around the end of June. You can figure all the details there. I've got a handout if you want to get it from my secretary, Dorothy. And the angel told Zechariah to go home about the end of June and that Elizabeth would get pregnant. So she gets pregnant the end of June, last part of June. And then, according to Luke 1, how many months later did Mary? 6 months. So the end of December is the right date. We just got the wrong event. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, we should say Happy Conception Day. Because Jesus was probably conceived at Christmas time. And then if you go another 9 months to the end of September, when Feast of Tabernacles usually comes, Jesus was born at this time of year, probably. So I invite you to turn to your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas! Now, my wife and I took this very seriously this year. We actually gave ourselves our Christmas presents last night, just in celebration of the real Christmas time. Why not? So give a Christmas present to your spouse or to your good friend sometime during this week and celebrate Christmas at the right time, the appropriate time. Okay, and then, of course, the Feast of Booths points forward ultimately to when the tabernacle of God will be with men. For eternity we'll spend celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's described, actually, Revelation 21 and 22. That whole chapter is written in the language of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because John understood that the whole eternity would be one grand, glorious Feast of Tabernacles. Well, just to get a little taste of what Tabernacles was like in Jesus' day, there was not only the building of the booth, but the celebrating in the booth. They ate festal meals there, ate all their meals there in the booth. And they also read the Torah. Every 7 years, according to Deuteronomy 31, they were to read the entire Torah during Feast of Tabernacles time. So if we start right now, we might make it through by Friday night. You said you were coming with me to the feast. You didn't know you were staying here for 5 days, did you? Okay. You could do that on your own. If you want something special to do, read from the Torah, from the first five books of Moses. Some of you are taking Pentateuch anyway, so this is a perfect time to study Pentateuch during Feast of Tabernacles. And then, of course, it was also a time to sing. And thank you for that wonderful song about water that we heard. Wasn't that a beautiful song? And there's another traditional Hebrew song that I've put in your bulletin. That is one of the 15 songs that were sung at the Feast of Tabernacles and the other feasts. They were sung by the pilgrims as they went up to Jerusalem. And then on the 15 steps of the temple, they sang this song among others. And those of you that have attended the Hebrew Adventist Synagogue, Jacques Ducan uses this quite often. And so you may know this. If you know this, help me out the first time through so we don't sing a solo. And it moves pretty fast. So here we go. Let's try it. Maybe we should just make sure the words first. It's Hine Ma Tov Umanayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. That means, behold how good and how wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in, literally, in festal oneness. Just like we're doing. Okay? And then the chorus is just an abbreviated form of that. So here we go. Hine ma tovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tov shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tov Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. That was good. But we need to add just a couple more things. We need a little bit of, you know, the Bible talks about an instrument of 10 strings. But you know, in Hebrew, the word strings isn't there. It just says an instrument of 10. Maybe strings, maybe fingers. Clap your hands, oh you people. Maybe that's the instrument of 10 strings. Who knows? Anyway, we need a little percussion for it. And we need to make it go a little bit faster. So here we go. A little fast, even faster. Okay. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov shevet achim gam yachad. All right, and for one more grand finale, you got to pick up your branches and let's wave them as we sing it, okay? If you can clap and wave at the same time, you can do that. I haven't quite figured out how to do that. But anyway, here we go. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov shevet achim gam yachad. Hi! All right. Beautiful. Hosanna. Yes, Hosanna. Now, I want us to taste a little bit of the service at the temple in Jesus' day. There were two major events that took place at the temple that were especially impressive. The first one was the water ceremony. This happened every morning, early in the morning, as the people were sleeping. And by the way, Josephus tells us that at the time of the feasts, the three annual feasts, there were over 1.5 million people sleeping on the hillsides around Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? With all those booths out there covering the hillsides, and the priest would take the shofar to wake them up. Anybody sleeping out there? And as they woke up and looked out of their tents, they saw the procession of a priest with a golden pitcher. You see this pure, translucent gold? And he put it on his shoulders, and he started from the temple platform, and he headed down to the Pool of Siloam, down, deep down through the pathway. And as he reached the Pool of Siloam, he dipped his pitcher into the Pool of Siloam and lifted up water from the Pool of Siloam. We got full glass of water, yes. And as the water was lifted up, there were Levitical choirs singing antiphonally from Isaiah chapter 12. They were singing about the pulling out of water from the pool, Isaiah 12 and verse 3. And so with more singing from Isaiah and from other places, therefore with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Those are the words I was reaching for. So the priest went back up and he got to the top of the platform, and there on the ledge by the altar of burnt offering was a pitcher of grain. And he held the two up before the people, and at the given signal, he poured them. He poured them out into a mingling, flowing of grape juice and water. And as they watched that ceremony, they asked the priests, "What does it mean?" And the priest said, "Well, you know what it means. You know that there in the wilderness, there was that water that came from the rock and flowed out so that they could have drink in the wilderness? And they said, yeah, we understand that. But what about the blood-red grape juice? And why the mingling together? And it would flow down under the temple. And it flowed down under a secret underground passage to the pool, to the brook Kidron, the Kidron River. And then flowing again, mingled down the brook Kidron through the wilderness of Judea, down to the Dead Sea, the lowest spot on earth. And that happened every day. And the priests were asked, what does it mean? And they said, stop asking stupid questions. We don't know what it means. We've always done it this way. And so during this last Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus attended, at every water ceremony, they were waiting to hear the word from Jesus. And according to John 7, as there were the pouring of the water and the grape juice on the last day of the feast, as they poured the water and the grape juice, the voice of Jesus rang out. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of him will flow rivers of living water. And just a few weeks later, Jesus hung on a cross, and he cried out, it is finished. And he bowed his head and died. And that soldier took the spear and thrust it into his side. And out of his side flowed blood and water. And it mingled down the cross, down to the very lowest sinner on earth, to you and to me. And it brought life. Mayim, the water of life. And the rabbis used to say, if you haven't tasted or experienced the water ceremony, you don't know what it is to be happy. And as Christians, we can add, if you haven't tasted the water of life that's found in Jesus, you don't know what it is to be happy. Well, at night they had the light ceremony, and it was just as spectacular. These two great lights, 75 feet high. Two standards there in the courtyard of the temple. And here's where the PKs got their day. Because the PKs, the priest's kids, got to climb a 75-foot ladder with 10 gallons of oil in one hand and then pour it into those giant bowls at the top of these 75-foot high basins for light. And can't you see those proud PKs just sort of climbing up there and pouring in the 10 gallons of oil, and then they take the torch and they climb up again, and according to the eyewitness accounts in the Mishnah, every building, every courtyard in the whole city of Jerusalem was lit up. And they all understood what this meant. It not only stood for the light that followed them in the wilderness, but they knew that the Messiah was going to come as the light of the Jews, that they were going to conquer the Romans, and then they were going to rule the world. They had it almost right, but not exactly right. So Jesus couldn't announce his fulfillment of that symbol because he needed a bigger symbol. And so he waited until the very last day, the very last event of the feast, just before they tore down the booths and went home. They headed toward the east before sunrise. And this time they blew the great shofar. The great shofar, waking up the congregation one last time. When everyone was awake, they took 10 paces, more blasts of the trumpet, and songs from the Levitical choirs. And they got to the very edge, the eastern edge of the temple enclosure, and the sun was just about to rise. Just as the sun was rising, they said this, Our fathers worshiped with their backs to the temple. They worshiped the sun. But Lord, our eyes are on you. And just as they turned around, there was the rising sun, shining in its fullness, its beautiful rays dazzling off the white marble walls. And according to John 8, and verified by Ellen White and Desire of Ages, it was at that moment that Jesus broke the silence. And he said, I am the light, not just of the Jews. Amen. I am the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, we just tasted a little bit of the feast, but there's a grand feast coming soon in the Promised Land. And I can hardly wait. The water ceremony is going to be there, except not just a measly pitcher of water from a fake pool of Siloam or even from a real pool of Siloam. The Bible tells us there's going to be a river of water flowing from the throne of God. And the lamp ceremony is going to be. They're not just 75-foot lampstands or even the sun. It says the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its light. And a feast is going to be there, a silver table miles long. And we'll get to see our friends and those that have been saved with us down the whole length of that table. And Jesus himself will take the servant's apron and will serve us. Yes, and the waving of palm branches will be there. And we had a hard time finding palm branches, so we had to bring the fake palm branches. But we got a few real miniature ones, so I wave a palm branch here. Waving of palm branches will be there. Question is, will you be there?
Yes,
yes. Will I be there? The very last invitation found in the Bible, the very last one, reserved for the last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Is that your desire here this morning? You know, our Jewish brothers and sisters, after 70 AD, the destruction of their temple, the last 2,000 years have often had to celebrate these feasts in prisons or in pogroms, or in concentration camps, or in secret hideouts in the woods. But they've always found a way to keep the festival. And when the feast comes to an end, when it came to an end during those long years of exile, they would turn to one another and they would say, next year, Jerusalem. Lashanai haba'a Birushalayim. And I'd like to suggest that each one of us, if it's your desire, can await next year. I'm not setting dates, mind you, but soon in the New Jerusalem. Amen. If this is your desire, could you turn to your person next to you and just with a fervent, heartfelt, next year, by God's grace, the New Jerusalem. Next year, New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. I invite you, as you go out in order to help the cleanup crew, to take your branch with you and just deposit it maybe in a stack at the back so we can minimize the work afterwards. Can we stand together as we have our closing song? Grab your branches, because after the song we're going to do one more Hosanna. Where's my branch? Here we go. God, you've heard our heartfelt determination. By your grace, we want to be there in that great camp meeting in the Promised Land. We've tasted a little bit of it, Lord, and it makes us homesick for heaven. It seems like we cannot wait. We long to wave those branches and shout, Hosanna, hallelujah, at your throne. Until then, Lord, keep us faithful to you with our eyes upon you, tasting the river of life every day and watching you, the Son of Righteousness, rise in our hearts with healing in his wings. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hosanna! 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 Next year, Jerusalem.